In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week, I began something new. Last week, I began a sermon series that will last for 6 Sundays. As I said last week, I've not done this before, so please bear with me. The general theme of these 6 Sundays, what kind of links them all together, is this theme of October in Salem. For us here in Salem, October is a month-long march toward Halloween. Yesterday was October the 1st. If you took a look at your guide to events here in Salem, there were 39 events on October the 1st alone. It's amazing. To some, the spirit of the month is alarming. To others, it's harmless fun. But for us as Orthodox Christians, October is a fantastic opportunity to pause and to reflect on what we see around us, and to hear the good news of Jesus Christ in a new way, even if your neighbors are dressed up like zombies or Mr. Spock. If the gospel means anything for anyone, then certainly it means something for us here and now, even in October. Last week, in the very first sermon of the series, we spoke of Satan, of what others believe, or what we rather believe about the evil one. But more importantly, we reflected on the power of Jesus Christ to bring light even when it is darkest. This week, our focus will be something much more concrete. This week, we turn to the human body. Each October, Salem attracts over 250,000 visitors. Much of the magnetism of Salem this time of the year is the spotlight that it shines on death. Here it becomes safe to think about death. Images of death are everywhere present and filling all things. We walk downtown at night. When we do so, you are surrounded by folks pretending to be long dead, half dead, or undead. We are told that Salem is a haunted place where the living have trouble letting go. Cemeteries, according to the tours, are not places of rest, but places of visitation by restless spirits who bring trouble on those of us still alive. And the costume of choice in October, for many adults at least, is some form of the human body as it undergoes violent death or decay. And if you're lucky, all we see are ghosts and skeletons. But more often, the shops and the storefronts, those that are trying to take our money this time of the year, those shops and storefronts, there you will see images of the human body in pain, sort of green and bloodied. Human beings in distress, bodies that are decomposing yet still walking. We dress up as creatures that are part human, part something else, creatures that have no hope, it seems like, creatures that are comfortable with pain and terror, and comfortable with bringing pain and terror to others. The children are totally different, right? Children here enjoy the play. They choose Elsa and Batman. But for the adults, the unspoken price of admission to Salem is fake blood and a taste for brains. Right? October in Salem makes grown men and women look at their choices and say, forget about it. I'm not dressing up as Captain America. I'm going to be a corpse, right? And on one level, this is nuts. It would be so much cooler to be Captain America than to be a corpse. That's the choice that people make. But on another level, and this is the question we always fail to ask, when you look around Salem in October, no matter whether you think it is harmful or harmless, when you are surrounded in the streets by all the bones and all the moans, by the gray eyes and the green flesh, as Oktoberfest becomes the undead pub crawl, you really have to ask yourself just one question. What else did we expect? What else did we expect? Salem is not unusual. Salem is not guilty of inventing strange new ways of celebrating October. Salem is not an unpredictable explosion of Halloween weirdness within the otherwise polite society of hush-hush New England. This bizarre month in this wonderful town is exactly what you would expect when you finally give permission to people to think about death and dying when everywhere else in this country and at all other times we do everything that we can to not think about death, to hide death, when otherwise we are constantly trying to pretend that death does not exist. Salem is a small town in a very big world. A world, at least in Europe and North America, where we never think about death. We worship the great idol of youth and good health. We buy billions and billions of dollars worth of largely useless supplies to keep us looking young, and postponing death. Living longer is the gold standard in healthcare. Evading death is everyone's dream. And if it weren't for this jalopy that we live in, right? If it weren't for this frail and fragile human body, then we might have a chance to live forever, to become just like gods. We are scared to death of death. And so in turn, what do? We blame the messenger. We blame the human body. That body which tells us day after day that we are getting older, that life does come to an end. The human body then becomes the enemy. It fights against us in our battle for immortality. Aging humbles us. With age comes sickness and dependence. And so in general, we have said yes to a very messed up understanding of the human body. The good human body, we now say, is the one that never gets old. The one that never gets sick. We look down on people who we think are overweight by the day's impossible standards. We do not honor and respect, as we should, those who live with chronic disease and mental illness. We neglect the old, and we stand by while bullies and trolls lead an army of internet followers to ridicule someone based on how they look. Death scares us, and we blame the human body. The human body has become for us something less than human. And so Salem is a bit of a breath of fresh air. Salem is a place where for a whole month we are given permission to think about the human body and the reality of death. But given that we usually do everything that we can to ignore death, it is no surprise that here in October, all we can come up with are Frankenstein's mummies and vampires. We have PhDs who study physics and history and economics, but when it comes to the subject of death, we are kindergartners who cannot walk in single file. When it comes to death and dying, we don't know how to think about the human body. And so all the good and the bad, all of it just comes rushing out together in a fantastic October tantrum. So Salem is not to blame for anything. Salem is not the front line of some evil conspiracy. Salem is a living laboratory. Salem allows us to peek into our unspoken thoughts about death, peek into how we either honor or dishonor the human body, whether we see the human body as a friend or whether we see it as the enemy. And what the world refuses to admit about its fear of death, what the world refuses to admit about its love-hate relationship with the human body, Salem is willing to whisper in the dark, at least for a few weeks. October in Salem is an experience in truth-telling. Truth-telling. It really is. But on the other side of all of that is the very clear and powerful proclamation by the church that the human body is good and sacred and that it is worthy of honor. This morning, St. Paul reminds the Corinthian church that God has commanded light to shine out of darkness. God now shines in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God in Christ gives himself to us. His life becomes our life. Communion with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is now a reality. There is talk of divine light. There is talk of divine knowledge, divine love, divine fellowship. We now see with the eyes the very face of God, with our eyes the very face of God. In Christ, our humanity is joined with the humanity, with the Father's divinity. The Holy Spirit himself is poured out upon all those who receive Christ. But there's a big but, a huge one. right? But, says the Apostle Paul, this light and this life, this radiance and this glory, this divine love and this divine knowledge, all of this is a treasure beyond belief. But, says the Apostle Paul, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. God has given us his life, but this life we now carry with us still as a human being with a human body. That's the earthen vessel spoken of by St. Paul. It is the vulnerable and fragile body that you and I have. Divine life and divine love do not now change the human body into something better. God's love given to us freely now reveals the full dignity and the full value of the human body exactly as it is, whether we like our bodies or not. No matter how much it weighs, no matter how slow it moves, no matter what your serotonin levels are, it doesn't matter. The glory of God is now carried by you and by me in earthen vessels. And St. Paul goes on to say that we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, that means confused, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but we are not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body, our body, the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Brothers and sisters, in Jesus Christ, God chooses to live a human life with a human body. And if the human body is important to God, then the human body needs to be important in the very same way to you and to me. When you look in the mirror, maybe you don't like what you see. Maybe you see your imperfections. Maybe you see your sins. Maybe you see how your body is failing you or how your body is even fighting against you. Do not be tricked. Your body is not the enemy. Your body is holy and is loved by God beyond belief. It does not matter if you suffer illness, whether you suffer from cancer or depression or chronic pain. It does not matter if you suffer from addiction, if your body always seems to choose what it should avoid. It does not matter if you live with shame or guilt or hopelessness. The message of the world, might be that the human body is weak and useless, especially in our fight against death. But the message of the gospel is that the human body is an earthen vessel into which God pours the treasures of divine life. God is serious about this. And the church is serious about this. Our bodies are the places in creation where Christ himself wages a divine war against the enemies that seek to steal away what is precious to him. Our bodies are the battlefields on which the nuclear weapon of communion is launched, on which God wages war against evil through the offensives, of confession and worship. Our minds may not always want to follow, but our bodies are already in the kingdom. We might struggle with faith, but our bodies have already been claimed by God through the activity of the church. In baptism, Christ grabs us. In chrismation, the Holy Spirit is smeared on us. In communion, our bodies collide with the bodies of Christ. And week after week, through prayer and blessing and incense and holy water, through the smell of beeswax and the sounds of singing, through icons and kisses and signs of the cross, through all this, our Lord says over and over that you are mine. You're mine. Your body is made perfect, holy rather, not perfect. Your body is made holy by my presence. You are an earthen vessel that now holds treasures beyond belief. Your body, as weak and worthless as the world might think, your body, as beat up as you may feel, your body is a living monument to the ongoing activity and power of God. Brothers and sisters, through his church, God touches the human body and reminds us that it is precious to him. It is precious to him. So precious that he chose to live as a human being. And it never fails to blow my mind to remember that a human body in the ascended Christ now sits on a throne at the right hand of the Father, right now. A body like yours and a body like mine, already in the kingdom. We are not bones and bandages destined for the dump heap. We are earthen vessels into which God today, even now, pours forth treasure. Amen.